and now evangelist David Shannon.
We'll take a Bible and open to Luke, the first chapter. Tonight, we will continue in a series of lessons that we have started studying through the book of Luke. I do want to say for the benefit of all of us, it may seem that, hey, this is kind of the topic that's on the world's mind this time of year. As we look to the first and second chapter of Luke, we look to the birth of Christ. I want to emphasize to each one of us, there's no authority in God's Word for religious holidays. So we do not look at this subject matter as a religious holiday subject matter. But this is a subject matter that deals with Christianity every day of our lives. This is something that you and I must appreciate day in and day out. So please don't mistake this as something that was chosen for this time of the year. I would feel better if it were the middle of July preaching this as for it to be mistaken that this was because of the holiday season. Jesus, the Savior of the world, was to be born. His father was very similar to mothers and fathers today in this sense. And that was, he was excited about the birth of his son. He wanted to make an announcement. And you know, I remember when my children were born, it didn't matter if I knew you very well, I wanted to tell you, I have a child born. I have a son. I have a daughter. It's been the custom throughout the ages to use many means to make these type of announcements. Perhaps at least a decade or so ago, the very common was to hand out the cigars. And then that became known as, well, that's not too healthy. So then it seems that since that time, it's began to be very common to send out announcements, formal announcements, announcing the birth of, and it's the name of the child, and the date, and the length, and the weight, and of course, the parents. You see, it's not the fact that the child that has been born is the only child that's ever been born. It's the fact that when it's your child, you're so proud of your child. And it's the fact that bundled up in that little package of a child is the joy, the expectation, the hopes, the dreams that you as a parent have for that to become a very profitable being to society, to love you, and perhaps later in years to care for you. Now, it's not all of the same reasoning that God had in mind. But brethren, it's very, very clear that God wanted mankind to know, I have a child that's going to come to this earth. As a matter of fact, when you and I go back in our Bibles to Genesis, the third chapter, and verse 15, the previous verses have dealt with the punishment that Adam and Eve were to receive because they had sinned. And then God turns to Satan, to the serpent, and he tells him of the punishment that he is to have. And he says that the seed of woman, that Satan would bruise his heel, but that the seed of woman would bruise the head of Satan. Which means that Jesus Christ would come and Satan would bruise his heel, give him a minor injury, hanging him on the cross. It's minor because he overcame the grave. But the great injury was to Satan bruising his head because from that day forward, victory over death has been proven. You see, all the way in the beginning of our Bible, God was announcing that coming. We go to Daniel, the seventh chapter. And in Daniel, the seventh chapter, Daniel said it in verse 13 and 14 like this. He said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, and capital S for Son there, Son of Man, came with the clouds of heaven and came to Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So Daniel made it very clear that the Son of Man, capitalized S because it's also the Son of God, would be born for all people to be a Savior, that the kingdom should never pass away. Now, when it came closer to that time, of course, other prophets prophesied other than Daniel, but we could spend all evening talking about what each of the prophets prophesied of our Savior. But let's go a little closer to the story, and that is, in your minds, the Matthew, the first chapter, is the first occasion of the announcement in very recent times of the birth of Christ. And Matthew, the first chapter, we see that Joseph is afraid. And we see that he is considering putting away Mary because Joseph knows that she is with child. He wants to put her away privately, probably to keep her from shame. But Gabriel comes to her, the angel, to him, and he announces that in her womb is one that's conceived of the Holy Spirit. She shall bring forth a child, and that you should call his name Jesus, for to save the people from his sin. And then a few verses down, he says, you should call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Brethren, did you see what God is announcing? Please don't think all of this is just to make the point that God is announcing. Listen to what each one is saying. God said in Genesis, the third chapter, when my Son comes, He's going to bruise Satan. How many of us have ever bruised Satan? We can't bruise Satan unless it's through Jesus. Daniel spoke. There's going to be one born upon this earth, and He's going to be a Savior for all nations and set up a kingdom for all nations. You see, each one was making an announcement not just of Jesus coming to this earth, but an announcement of some great things that were to come. And now, when Gabriel stands before Joseph, he doesn't just say, Joseph, I've come to tell you that your wife's going to have a child, or your lady that soon will become your wife. Instead, he says, I want to tell you how important this birth is. It's Jesus, the one that's going to save the people from their sin. It's Emmanuel. It's God, the equivalent of God, equal with God. As Philippians 2 talks about, He's equal. It wasn't robbery to be considered equal with God. But He humbled Himself and became as a man, a servant, to come to this earth. But now let's go to Luke. And let's see how it's announced in Luke. When we go to Luke, the first chapter in verse 26, we see the announcement as it comes to Mary. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to the man whose name was Joseph. The closest thing we have to espousing is an engagement, except the very critical difference. It's not the same. Once someone was espoused to someone, they were committed to them. Breaking the time of being espoused would be the same as breaking the first year of marriage in our society today. It was considered that they were committed to each other. So as a virgin espoused to the man, but they didn't start living together after that year was up, after they had been espoused for 1 year. So they were not living to each other, but they were committed to one another. So a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now as we look here, we see the great compliment that he gives to her. But we read on. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now notice the announcement. Not just the birth of Christ, but listen to the description here. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Brethren, do you see here? He's going to be great. He's going to be of the highest. And brethren, that's not talking about just upon earth. He's saying even of the kingdom of the heavens. He is the highest. And he's saying to Mary, the announcement of your son is going to be of the greatest being, part of the Godhead, will come forth from your womb to the earth. Brethren, a wonderful announcement. Notice what happens when she goes to her cousin's house, Elizabeth. And we read in verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out of a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So now the Holy Spirit announces to Elizabeth that her cousin Mary is carrying the child of God. And she recognizes him as her Lord, her Master. Now, as all of this is taking place, it's very interesting to me that in the middle of all of this, Gabriel says the words in 37. And notice, this is in the middle. After he's talked about the virgin birth of Christ, and then he's talked about Elizabeth bearing a child, even though she had been barren and past the age of childbearing. It says in verse 37, For with God nothing shall be impossible. God wanted it to be a great occasion, the announcement of His Son. How would He do it? He could make it great because with Him nothing is impossible. He could announce it from the very beginning of mankind. He could announce it hundreds of years later through His prophets. He could announce it hundreds of years after that through an angel. He could announce it after that through the Holy Spirit. And as we read on into the second chapter, if you'll look with me, into the second chapter in verse 8, we see another way that God would announce the birth of His Son. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And they were led to Bethlehem. And in verse 17 it says, And when they had seen the saying, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So now, since with God nothing is impossible, He decides to even use angels to announce it to the shepherds. And a whole host of angels magnifying the fact that He's the highest. Peace and good tidings upon this earth. Then what do? They turn and they announce it to the rest that are in that area. Now, as we continue reading through this Luke, the second chapter, we see that after the time of purification, they take and they offer a sacrifice. And we're in the 24th verse now. And notice, they offer a pair of turtle doves. If they would have been a family with very much money at all, they would have offered a lamb and a turtle dove. But since they had very little money, the custom for the poor people was to offer simply two turtle doves. So they go and they offer. And notice what happens in verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now notice this description that Simeon gives. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which Thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of Thy people Israel." Brethren, it's the Savior that He was announcing to the world. One that would save the people from their sins. And then finally in this chapter, we see the announcement in verse 36. There was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age, had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So she came in. The Spirit told her. The Holy Spirit told Simeon. The Holy Spirit told Anna. This was the Savior. This is the one from Israel that will give redemption to the people. And they went about and they told others. Brethren, I don't know if it stands out in your mind, but it stands out as an amazing point to me that all of the way from the beginning of mankind and from the beginning of the Bible, all of the way to the time of Christ's birth, God was announcing that a Savior would be born. A Savior to save the people from their sins. He used Himself speaking to the serpent. He used prophets. He used angels. He used hosts of angels. And He used the Holy Spirit. But you see, He can do that. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. But not only is the announcement a magnificent thing, but also with God, nothing shall be impossible. So He would have His Son to be born of a virgin. More than likely, that was for a sign. You see, since the beginning of time, after the miraculous creation, reproduction had always been through men and women multiplying, having children, animals multiplying after their kind, all kinds of plants with seed after its kind. Now, each time we go into a new age, for example, when we go into the Mosaical age, it was a miraculous introduction. Moses went up and miraculously he was in the presence of God. But then after that introduction, it was carried on by men passing this message on. But now a new age was to come. An age of Christianity. And how would this sign be given to the world that this was something different? The sign would be the birth from the Virgin Mary. Look back with me, if you will, again, back to the first chapter. In the first chapter, after Gabriel had announced to Mary, her answer in verse 34 to the angel was, "How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man?" This wasn't some new idea that God had. Back in Isaiah, the 7th chapter, He made it very clear, Isaiah did, by His prophecy, by simply stating that the Savior would be born of a virgin. This was a sign that God had planned. This was the planning from the beginning. And now, we see as He goes to the Virgin Mary, and He talks with her about this. Now, something that I had never thought of before as I studied over this week, but it's easy to comprehend if we know the nature of God. God has never forced anyone to follow Him. We studied this morning the story of Noah. And how God came to Noah and God commanded Noah to build an ark, but Noah had an opportunity to say no to the building of that ark, just as you and I have an opportunity to say no to God this day. And I've never given it thought before the study of this, but do you realize when Gabriel came to announce this to Mary, she had the opportunity at this point to say no. You see, she was carrying a tremendous responsibility to give birth and to rear the child that's the Son of God. She was carrying this responsibility through his life on this earth. And then also, she was carrying the heavy weight of sorrow. Of course, at that time, she probably didn't realize. But God was asking her to raise that boy into a man, to follow him as he went through the hardships of his ministry, and then to follow him to the cross. Any mother knows that the tremendous heartache would be of watching your son hang and die on the cross. God asked her if she would do that. God didn't force her. When you and I read Gabriel's remarks, we may say, I don't see the question there. But I assure you it was a question. Because if it were not a question, we would not have an answer to it. Look in verse 38. Very clearly, Mary answers. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. She gave Gabriel the okay. She said to Gabriel, This handmaiden of the Lord will carry out his request. Gabriel had made the announcement. Gabriel had received the reply. Gabriel departed. Brethren, this day, it was a wonderful miracle to prove that Christ was special. Did it come true? Yes, we go to the second chapter in verse 6 and 7. It says, And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There they were in Bethlehem. For God, nothing shall be impossible. So his son was born of a virgin. Chosen of a virgin that lived in Nazareth, 100 miles from Bethlehem. Now how to fulfill the prophecy in Micah would Christ ever be born in Bethlehem if the mother was a poor individual that lived 100 miles away? How? For with God, nothing should be impossible. It's interesting to notice that as we read in Luke, the second chapter, we find that God used a pagan emperor, Roman emperor, to give a creed. And the obedience of that creed would be the fulfillment of the prophecy of Micah. It's also a very great joy as we study the Bible to see the truths unfold. Look with me, if you will, in Luke, the second chapter. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Now up until very, very recent times, the scholars and the historians were stumped. Because everywhere they went in history, they could only find Cyrenius giving this decree and even being the ruler 12 years after the birth of Christ. And if you have an older commentary, go back and look in Luke, the second chapter, and it's interesting to see how these commentators try to twist Luke, the second chapter. They come up with all kinds of ways to twist the Bible to fit man's history. Just go back and look in your old commentary. But you see, recently, the archaeologists were digging, and they uncovered the papyri, the recordings. And you know what they found out? What Luke says here in the second chapter in verse 2, when he says, And this taxing was first made with Cyrenius. Luke said this was his first time to be governor. He later, 12 years later, had a second term. All of this time, men have been twisting the Scriptures to fit history when we should have been fitting history with the Scriptures. With God, nothing is impossible. And when we begin to twist God's ways to man's ways, we always pervert the truth. But now notice, God wanted to make a special announcement. With Him, it wasn't impossible. He wanted His Son to be born of a virgin. with him, it wasn't impossible. His son was to be born in Bethlehem, and Joseph and Mary would travel when she was about to give birth, would travel 100 miles, and the prophecy was fulfilled. Brethren, other than a history lesson of the greatest story that's ever been told, what else can we learn from this lesson? I hope that there's one thing that we all have learned, and that is the fact, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, this is going to be the invitation, but please don't grab your psalm books yet. Give me 2 or 3 minutes. There may be someone here tonight that says, I've never been a child of God. I've never been baptized for the remission of sins. I've never been a part of the New Testament church. And I don't think I could ever do it. I want to tell you tonight, you can on your own. By yourself, you will never do it. But with God, nothing is impossible. Submit your life to Him. Let God rule your life. It's possible. There may be someone here that's been a part of the church, but yet you've fallen away. And maybe since the time you've fallen away, you say, you just don't know the life I've lived. You don't know the mistakes I've made, and you don't know the guilt that I've carried through these years. And I could never come back. On your own, you couldn't. On your own, you'll never make it back. On your own, you'll never have forgiveness of sins. But with God, all things are possible. Tonight, it may be hard. I know it is for me to imagine you and I sitting in heaven in the presence of God Almighty, seeing Him face to face, singing with Him, looking into a beautiful day, not worrying about night because there is no night. It's not too crowded, but no one's lonely. There's no darkness, no loneliness. No pain, no suffering. You say it's impossible. Not with God. With God, all things are possible. Tonight, I urge each one of us to humble ourselves and to believe. On our own, we're nothing. Living by our own ways, we're lost. But with God, salvation is possible. Tonight, have you turned away from sin? Confessed Jesus Christ as your Son of God, the Son of God, and been baptized for the remission of those sins, living for Him? If you've done that, but yet you've strayed, will you come back to Him? If we can help you tonight in any way, we want to. Come as we stand and as we sing.